probably even more powerful is the story behind the song. The author, he was married, had four kids. He lost everything in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Everything. All his business, all his real estate, everything. So Horatio sent his wife and children back to London, where they were to remake life there. He was supposed to go with them, but as business would have it, he had to stay and tie up a few little loose ends. And so they went on, but as they crossed the Atlantic, the ship they were sailing on capsized. His wife sent Horatio a telegram, just said, "Saved alone. We lost all four." Horatio lost his business, his livelihood, and his kids. On his way to England to be reunited with his wife, I mean, imagine how painful it would be to sail right over that very same spot where his kids perished. And as the sorrow was welling within him, as the waves were crashing against the boat, he penned these words, "It is well. It's well. God can heal. I can be whole. Christ prevails. It's well." He was reunited with his wife. They had two more children, and they ended up moving to Jerusalem and doing business and ministry there. "It's well with my soul." Is it well with your soul? Do you want it to be well with your soul? Do you want to be healed, to be well? Seems like kind of a crazy question. Of course I want to be healed. Of course I want to be well. And yet one day, Jesus, he asked that very same question to a guy who hadn't walked for 38 years. This man had gone every day to what was known at that time as the Pool of Siloam. It was a place where there was an intermittent spring. Waters would rise up. And they believed that an angel would come and stir up the waters, and when that happened, the first one in would be healed. For 38 years, he tried to do this. Never getting in front of the line, never getting in at the right time, never being healed. Jesus walks in, and there's a crowd of sick people. A crowd very much like today. We all have needs. And Jesus walks up to you. Out of everybody else, he walks up to you who've been wrestling with something, hurting, wounded in the past, sick, in need of something. He walks up to you and he says, "Do you want to be healed? Do you really want to be well?" And maybe Jesus knew something that this guy didn't even know, how this guy who hadn't walked for 38 years kind of liked being a victim, liked having other people help him. Like the things that had got him, didn't want to be well because it would change his life. He'd have to find a regroup somehow. Do you want to be healed? Because sometimes we'd rather nurse our addiction. We've come to enjoy our dysfunction. We've learned how to cope with our hurts. We like how we can manipulate and use others with the hurts of our life. Do you really want to be well? And this morning we're going to continue looking at our series we call Fixable, where Joseph's life finally is fixed, so to speak. And we've been looking in Genesis, and I invite you to turn there, Genesis chapter 41, at the life of this guy Joseph, whose life goes from bad to worse to worse to worse to worse. Can't get much worse. He grows up in a very wealthy family, very prosperous family, well-known family, has lots of siblings, 11 brothers, a sister. And he becomes the apple of his dad's eye, as we looked at. And his dad treated him to things, gave him a special coat. Joseph had dreams of greatness to go along with this, and his brothers, they just hated him. They hated him so much so that they threw him into a pit. They were going to kill him, but they decided to sell him into slavery. And so he loses his family. Have you lost your family? Lost relationships. Lost relation with parents, kids, spouse, siblings. Do you want to be well? And all of a sudden now he's no longer free, but he's enslaved. Because a slave in Potiphar's house, and he rises in ability as a slave. He starts out kind of slopping pigs and cleaning toilets, and he ends up being able to run the whole household. And just when life finally kind of gets better for him, all of a sudden Potiphar's wife has an eye for him, wants him to sleep with her, and when he wouldn't do it, she accuses him of trying to rape her. And all of a sudden, every bit of Joseph's credibility, every bit of character he's worked hard to get is gone. Has that ever happened? People accuse you of things. People say you're no good. They accuse you of being a liar, a cheat, control freak, an adulterer. All of a sudden, what you'd worked for is gone. And Joseph ends up in prison again. He was a slave, and now he's in prison. He can't get out. And he's stuck there. And maybe you know what that is like. You know what it is to be in a prison of drinking, a prison of drugs, a prison of greed, a prison of gluttony, a prison. It holds you. It captures you. It won't let you go. Everything about you is defined by that prison. And you want to be free, do you? Do you really want to be well? Joseph in that prison meets Pharaoh, the most powerful person in the land, cupbearer and baker, two of his Pharaoh's servants. And they tell Joseph some dreams, and Joseph interprets the dreams. The cupbearer is going to be released. The baker is going to be killed. And it happens just as Joseph says. And as the cupbearer is leaving, the last words Joseph says to him is, "Remember me, please remember me." And the cupbearer forgets him. 2 years with Pharaoh, forgets him. Until Pharaoh has a dream. No one can understand the dream. And the cupbearer says, "There is this guy, Joseph, he told me everything." And so Joseph comes from prison, stands before Pharaoh, tells Pharaoh what the dreams mean. It means there's going to be 7 years of abundance in their land, lots of grain and prosperity, followed by 7 years of want and plenty and famine. So get ready, Pharaoh, store up. You need to hire someone who will gather wheat and grain while the good times are, so you can have some when the lean times come. And Pharaoh chooses him. And as we're going to see in the next few verses, healing comes to Joseph. What has been completely broken becomes fixed. And here's Joseph's challenge. Does he really want to be healed? Does he really want to live a fixed life? And when God fixes something, it's not just putting broken things back together. It's better than it ever was before. And Joseph has a choice whether he's going to wallow in the past, whether he's going to stay a victim of the past, whether he's going to let the hurts, nurse the wounds, or if he's going to walk in the healing presence of God and let God do something new for him. And he chooses the latter. Do you want to be healed? Or stuck in the past. And as we see in Genesis 41, God heals three things in Joseph's life. In a few short verses, Joseph's healing comes. The first thing is that God heals his broken past. God delights to do that. God delights in healing the brokenness and the pain of our past. And Joseph, he has lost a lot, and in a few verses, God restores it all to him. Listen, Genesis chapter 41, beginning at verse 41, it says, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby now put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.' And then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. And he dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in a chariot as a second in command. And men shouted before him, 'Make way.' Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I'm Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt.' And Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt." And I mean, you have to understand what was probably, first of all, healing for Joseph was the fact that finally, After years of having a broken life, he begins to understand how God's going to put it back together and what all that brokenness was. Joseph was 17 when his brothers sold him into slavery. He's now 30 when he stands before Pharaoh. 13 years, almost half of Joseph's life, he was a slave in prison, away from his family, freedom taken away from him. Half his life, almost. The prime years, 17 to 30, best years of his life, are gone. And now Joseph begins to be able to understand what that is. That's healing. And for Joseph, it took 13 years. Maybe it takes 6 months for you. Maybe it'll take a year for you. Maybe it'll take your whole lifetime to understand, why has God put these puzzle pieces together? God had a purpose. And God delighted in giving everything back to Joseph that was taken from him. He gave him a position. I mean, Joseph had gone from kind of being the favorite son to being no one. And now Pharaoh gave him a position that he saw and dreamed of in his dreams. And notice the words, how clear the Bible is. Pharaoh says, I give this to you. I make you second in command. I am doing this. This is not something that you've manipulated, you've tried, you've even earned, Joseph. You've had nothing to do with it. This is a position of grace. I do it. You don't have to worry about whether you got here by luck or by mistake. I'm giving this to you. And then Pharaoh takes off his signet ring and he puts it on Joseph's ring. That's like getting Bill Gates' credit card, okay? That's like Bill Gates saying to you, hey, here's my American Express. Have at it. Whatever you want is yours. That's what the signet ring did. It did business. It's what you did business by. Just could buy, sell anything because he had that ring. All of a sudden, he had nothing. He was a slave. He didn't own anything. Now he has access to riches. Everything. And Pharaoh puts a gold chain on his neck. Joseph, he had spent time with iron fetters around his wrists and his ankles. And now he gets a gold chain. It's value. He gets to ride in Pharaoh's chariot. Imagine Joseph. He's riding, and people are saying to Potiphar's wife, get out of the way. Here comes Joseph. He's got a big chain around his neck. He's someone now. You try to get rid of him, he's got his power back. And the most amazing thing is that Pharaoh, it says, put robes of fine linen on him. He gives to Joseph a brand new coat, a coat of grace, a coat of honor, a coat of royalty. We see in the story of Joseph that there were three coats that are prominent. The first is the coat that Joseph got from his dad. It's kind of the coat of human affirmation. It's the coat that we want in our family when we want to be prized and valued, want our parents to notice us. Notice how when kids are even little young, they go, Daddy, look at me. Mommy, look at me. See what I can do. Because we crave that human affirmation. Sometimes we want it from friends. Sometimes we want it from a lover. Sometimes we want it from our boss. We crave people who will love us. We say, just love me. Would someone just love me? I want to be loved. And Joseph had that. He had that coat from his dad, and it was stripped away. Because the coat of human affirmation never lasts, and it doesn't do what we want it to do. Because we can blow it, the person can die, the person can leave, the person can not be a friend. We look for affirmation from someone, and someone can happen. And if all our desire is in that coat, I want that coat, I want people to love me, we will always fail. Some of you are students, you're going out into the world, you've had affirmation of your parents, you're going to look for that from somewhere else. Don't look for that coat. Some of you are spending your time right now trying to get that coat. You're doing anything to get your parents to notice you, anything to get your grandparents, anything for them. Look at my kids, look at me, trying to get my boss. I want to be affirmed. Someone will they love me. It's not a good coat. It gets ripped away. And so when people can't find the coat of affirmation, what do? They work for the coat of human effort. When we can't get someone who will just love me, we say, well, I'm going to prove that I am lovable. I'm going to work hard, exactly what Joseph did. He went to Potiphar's house and he worked hard. He says, I'm going to do what anyone does when God is with him. And he works his way up and he gets a brand new robe. And he gets a robe because he's like highest in command over Potiphar's house. I'm someone. I can do it. I can show you. I'm capable. And some of you, when you can't find the love that you want, that's what you do. You look for self-effort. I'm going to prove who I am. I'm going to work hard. And we even do it with God. I'm going to show God I'm worthy. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to try and show God that I'm worthy of his love and his attention. But what happens to Joseph's code of self-effort? Potiphar's wife rips it off him. He runs naked out of the house, and there's Potiphar's wife holding his coat of self-effort, and in one statement destroys everything. And you can be working, you can be craving. I want people to notice me. I want to work hard. I want to show. I want to prove who I am. And in one statement, one economic fall, one downsizing, everything that you worked for is gone. And now Joseph gets a coat. He doesn't earn. It's not because Pharaoh says, I know you and you're lovable. Pharaoh says, I've known you for a whole 20 minutes. It's a coat of grace. It's a coat of what God gives. And there is a picture here of what God does to us when we come to him in salvation and come to him with a relationship. We want other people to love us. God's the only one who will love us. We want to prove ourselves. We could never prove ourselves to God. God gives a coat in grace. Adam and Eve, when they sin, what is the first thing they do? They sew fig leaves together, try to cover them up. God says, don't wear that coat. Let me give you a coat. And he sews some animal skins. He wants to give a coat. In fact, the final words in Revelation are he's going to give us robes, linens, and white. I want to give you a coat. He robes us in righteousness, Paul says. So walk in that. That's where the healing comes. The healing comes in realizing we're already healed. We have a relationship. God forgives us. The past is dealt with. And some of you right now, you are spending your time trying to prove to someone that you are worthy. You're trying to get someone else's love. Instead of just saying, I'm a child of God, I'm a king, I'm like Joseph, I've done nothing, but God, he gives it to me because of Christ. It's what Jesus did on the cross. He bought the right for God to give us a new coat. Walk and wear that coat. Wear it. First thing that God does is he restores to Joseph what the enemy and what life and what his brothers and Potiphar's wife have taken from him. It's a beautiful picture of what God says through the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Joel, speaking for God, he makes this wonderful promise. He says, I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten. God says, there are locusts. There are things that eat away, destroy the goodness, the prosperity, and I'm going to repay those. It's a picture of what the enemy does. The enemy likes to come in and steal and destroy and lie and cheat and take things. Have you lost something? If you lost your joy, his enemy stole your peace. Have you allowed drugs or addiction or pornography or illicit relationships to take things from you? Here's the promise. God says, you come to me, you surrender to me, what Jesus did on the cross, I'll restore, I will give you back. And sometimes when something is taken from us, when the enemy steals something that we should have, there's almost a moment of excitement and saying, what is God going to repay it with? How is God going to make that better? How is God going to take that broken and fix it? Because that's the promise. God took our child from us. Our child was taken from us. I remember saying, God, how are you going to restore? What are you going to do? I can't wait to see how you're going to repay this one, because it's a pretty big one. Do you want to be healed? Joseph, he reminds us God delights in healing the pain of the past. Second thing God delights in doing is healing the pain of our broken reputation. And healing a reputation that damages us. Because here was Joseph, his life, his reputation, it was completely obliterated. Potiphar's wife accused him of rape. His brothers accused him of being boastful. He had no credibility. Every time he tried to do something, It got knocked out. And in one moment, Pharaoh heals that. He says, Joseph, I'm going to give you a new name. Because your past is kind of like not good. When people think of Joseph, they think of the slave in prison. I'm going to give you a new name, Zaphnath-Paneh. And it means the Lord lives and speaks. And Joseph, when people see you, and when they call out for you, and when I invite you to come into my presence, and I say, Zaphnath-Paneh, it's a reminder, God lives, he speaks, he's alive. It's a reminder that you are not who you used to be, that the past is dealt with. You are not add, give me more. You are God lives and speaks. And what a healing moment, because in doing that, Pharaoh said, Joseph, I see you're a spiritual person. I see God in you. I know God's in you. I see that you are a wise and discerning person. I see that there is no one else who is as wise as you. I choose you. I see that you are a person of character, and I see you are a person who is gifted, gifted to understand and interpret dreams. You are gifted. Have you lost your reputation? Do you need to be healed? You're a coward. You're a drunk. You're an adulterer. You're a liar, cheat. You're fearful. Maybe you think my name is anxious. My name is worrier. My name is doubter. God wants to heal you, give you a new name. He wants to give you a new name. It's the promise in Revelation that we will get a stone with a new name written on it. You'll no longer be called fearful, anxious, worrier. Do you want to be healed? And then God does the most amazing thing. Joseph, who had the brokenness of a broken family. I mean, he had brothers and sisters try to kill him, sell him into slavery. I'm sure your brothers, your siblings did some horrible things to you. I cut the hair off my sister's doll. They were not happy with that. They never tried to kill me. And God restores family. He's ultimately going to restore Joseph's family. I mean, that's the point of the story. The point of the story is not to get good food in Egypt. The point of the story is that God is going to redeem and restore a family. And we've got a few more chapters. God's got some work to do with that. But as the story continues, we read in chapter 41 of Genesis, verse 50, it says, before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. And Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it's because God has made me forget all my trouble in my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it's because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine they began, just as Joseph had said. And there was famine in all the other lands. But in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. And Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do what he tells you. And when the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine, it was severe in all the world. And here is Joseph. He had no family. His mom had died. His dad didn't even know that he was alive. His brothers had abandoned him, and they were a mess anyway. Any family he tried to have in Potiphar's house, it was ripped from him. He was completely alone. And what does God do? God gives him a family. God gives him a wife, Asenath. She was a PK, a priest kid, we see. Potiphar was her dad. And Pharaoh gives her someone who understands a spiritual life like Joseph. And during the years of plenty, they have two sons. The first is Manasseh. His name means stingless, painless. And there's a play on words in the Hebrew. It's where the Hebrew really, it's beautiful. It says, and Joseph named him Manasseh because God Manasseh'd me, is the way that it reads. God, Joseph named him Stingless because God has taken the sting out of my life. What a picture. In the land of my suffering, God's taken the sting out. That's healing. See, because you could imagine, right, Joseph not walking in the healing. You could imagine Joseph said, I'm going to go get my brothers. I've got power now. I'm going to like chop that woman's head off who lied about me. I'm going to put her in prison. And every meal when that cupbearer brings me my food, I'm going to remind him that he's forgetful. But Joseph doesn't do that. He walks in his healing. Says God's going to take the sting out. That's what Jesus did on the cross when he died for your sins and mine. He died for the penalty of sin, the problem of sin, the pain of sin. He wants to take the sting out. Do you need healing? Do you need God to take the sting out of your past? But more than just taking the sting out, we see that God gave him a second son. His name was Ephraim. It means fruitful, abundant. And here is Joseph. He does a play on words again. He says, I'm going to name my second son Ephraim because God has Ephraimed me. God has made me fruitful. And every time I look at my sons, I'm going to realize God's taken the sting out and he's made me fruitful. It's what God longs to do. Do you want to be healed? Sometimes we just want God to take the sting out, but God, he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to take the pain of the past and to use it. I mean, here is Joseph. Remember, a lot of things have happened. 13 years of pain, but he uses it now. Everything that he's learned. To bless. And he does what healed people do. He heals. He touches others. He heals where other people are. And when the world is in crisis, they come to him. And when people are in bondage to hunger and in bondage to famine, when people have absolutely everything taken away from them and they come to Joseph, Joseph understands, says, I know what it's like. I've been there. What a gracious person. Joseph is such a picture of what God does. How God takes his abundance and he gives it back to us. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? James, Jesus' brother, he writes about that. Maybe he remembers what Jesus said to the man by the pool of Siloam. And James, writing to the church in James chapter 5, says this. He says, if is any of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. An effective prayer. And this morning, we're going to take what's a very private kind of healing ministry that Calvary has, because when people are sick and they're in the hospital or they have need, they come to the office or we go to the hospital and we pray for them and anoint them with oil and ask for God to heal them. And James here, he reminds us of three things that we should pray first boldly. We should tell God what's on his heart. Do you want to be healed? Come and say, Jesus, I want to be healed. In a moment, the elders, they're going to be here. They're going to do publicly what they do privately in conjunction with our staff and our prayer ministry. And I just invite you to come and tell God what you need. Are any of you in trouble? God, I'm in trouble. I have nowhere to go but you. I'm sick. Elders, I need you to pray. And I've seen God do some amazing things when people do that. I remember the day that we thought our beloved staff member, Bob Havens, wasn't going to make it. And God miraculously spared his life. God did that. I was a preacher in training years ago. And a woman in our church was sick, and I went, and I got there expecting to have kind of a nice conversation with her and chit-chat and read some scripture, and I got there. She was unconscious. They called the family. She was about to die. I didn't want to meet the family in that. I was still in training. So I prayed quickly for her healing and left. She walked out of that hospital a few days later. God did a work. Our daughter, the day she was born, was very, very, very sick. So was her brother, but we were more worried for her. And the elders came and anointed her isolette, and we prayed for her. And there was no more medication that they could give for her blood pressure. They had done everything they could, and then we just watched her blood pressure get better and better and better. I've seen God open wounds. I've seen God take drives for drugs away. I've seen God restore families. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? In a moment, the worship team's going to come, and we're just going to spend some time worshiping. And the elders are going to take their place just down front, and we just invite you to come. Last service, we had many people come. We spent a lot of time just praying for people. We had people pray to be healed, pray for their families, pray physically, pray for addictions, pray for relationships, pray for their spiritual life. We invite you, if you don't need healing, to stand in for someone that you know who needs to be healed. We'll pray for you and substitute for them. We're going to anoint you with oil. Oil in the scripture is a symbol of God's Holy Spirit. And when something was anointed, it was just saying that this is set apart. We believe God wants to do a work in you. We just want to set you apart for the work of God's Spirit. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? I just encourage you just to not let pride or fear burden you, but to come and do what Scripture says. Is any of you sick, call the elders of the church. Is any of you in trouble, pray. We would love to pray with you today. Let's pray together. So I want to invite those who are praying to take their place down front or up in the balcony. And dear Jesus, we thank you for this picture of what you promised in Joel, that you will restore the days of the locusts of Eden. That you restored to Joseph everything that was taken away from him. You gave it back to him and you made it better. You just didn't fix it. You made it better. So Lord, just as we come, would you hear the prayers? Would you give us wisdom as we pray? Holy Spirit, would you come and do a work that only you can do? Jesus, you are the great physician. Would you come and heal? Heal wounded hearts. Heal bodies. Heal memories of the past. Holy Spirit, would you come and do what you need to do in our midst? Take the sting out and to make us fruitful. In Jesus' name.